Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Parapod is an entertainment podcast. It is strongly advised that you do not undertake any of the instructions or tasks contained within this show. Neither the Parapod nor its presenters are liable for any misfortune befalling listeners who ignore this warning.
Hello, it's not the Parapod, it's the Ask the Industry podcast. My name's Simon Kane, and for those of you new to the show, this one is a little different to our usual episodes. In this episode, I interviewed the founders of the Parapod. The Parapod is a podcast about the paranormal, which has a cult-like following that has grown really fast since its beginning at the end of 2015. There are only 20 episodes in, and in my opinion, it is one of the best comedy podcasts out there. However, there is a darker side to the show. I've got to put a trigger warning on this episode, as we do talk about death, suicide, and depression. We talk about how online bullying can impact people psychologically and in their real life, and how online success and going viral can also be a negative as well as a positive. It's a really interesting interview, and I'm really proud of how it came out. But like I said, it's a little different to what we're used to. These guys have had a large amount of success. The two people I speak to in it are Ray Peacock or Ian Boldsworth, who talks quite openly and candidly about being, I would say, bullied into changing his stage name, but also times have changed, and as a result, he's had to make a bit of a concession in his career, and how that is going to impact the longevity of his act. And Barry Dodds, who was, in his own words, just a jobbing comedian on the circuit, who has been thrust forward into a limelight of a lot of online bullying, a lot of online abuse, and yet continues to put himself out there in a very open and honest and vulnerable way. He reveals in the podcast how that impacted him and what thoughts went through his mind when he was getting attacked for the first time in such a public forum. If you want more interviews about the comedy industry and about the darker side of comedy and about podcasting and online content in general, please do subscribe. But without any more delays, this is my interview with the Parapod founders, Ray Peacock and Barry Dodds.
Yeah, normally we're separate.
we're recording now.
All right, sorry.
That's okay. I tell you, do you want to say...
Hello.
Yeah, that'll do.
What?
Does it need to be that close?
It doesn't need to be that close, but I can adjust the volume, so that's fine.
I'll tell you what to do. Just, yeah, do it like that. I think that'd be alright.
But don't you
is that picking up alright on both of us? Here's me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Hang on, I'm just turning it up. You should be fine. Yeah, go on.
And hello. 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 Is that alright?
Yeah, that's
okay, I'm trembling.
It's fine. I know you are. It's like you're seeing a ghost.
I'm in pain.
You're in pain. Do you not want to be the one that holds it? I don't mind.
Yeah, I think you hold it.
I'm not holding it.
Do we have like a... We could make a stand or something? Is that...
Let him tremble.
We're totally not going to get through any questions.
That'll be fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well...
I'll hold it as long as I can.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now he's got a soundbite to masturbate to.
Wow. Okay. I mean, we thought we'd already established... I mean, oh yeah, that would be me gay, not him gay, so that's fair enough. Yeah. That's fine. Okay. The first question was going to be, at what point like prior to the Parapod, did you come up with the idea of doing this together? Because you, as far as I'm aware, you haven't done a project between you before this.
Not an official project, but we did end up working together on the radio show.
Yeah, it all started because I was meant to do an interview about ghosts on...
Was it about ghosts?
Yeah, it was about me taking the comedians into Pontefract. Okay. About me taking some comics into a house in Pontefract. I was meant to do an interview on Ray's show, and I missed the interview. And he was furious, and then it became a rule.
That why was I furious?
Because my phone was out of signal, so you couldn't...
But what was I doing while your phone wasn't working?
Live on the radio, trying to ring me.
So you appreciate why I would be furious?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
And I had to then film...
Yeah. You had to fill a half an hour section.
It wasn't,
yeah,
it was planned for an interview. Yeah,
no, and you rightly saw, yes, and I rang you. Yeah, and I rang you, apologised. Yeah, I texted you immediately.
I mean, was that good preparation for filling certain bits in the pub?
No, it was. It was actually fine. It was just I get. I still do it nowadays. It happened the other week on Fubar, didn't it? On somebody.
Yeah, someone cancelled.
That happened as well. It happened again with someone else. I can't remember her name. An actor, and she.
Ambrosia.
Ambrosia, was that a name? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Isn't that a yogurt?
It's Ambrosia. I think it's a custard. Rice pudding custard.
Right.
I don't think that's who it is.
Okay.
And she didn't answer. And I went off one again, didn't I?
Yeah.
It makes me really cross that when someone's planned to do something, you know, and then they're not there, then it's sort of, I get abnormally cross about it. So I was furious with you on air.
Yeah.
But then when we spoke afterwards, I had calmed down then and was like, I wasn't actively angry with you at that point.
Yeah.
But I did see an opportunity then to make your life a bit of a misery.
Yeah, which then became this rule that because I'd missed that one, I had to do an interview every week.
Yeah.
Or
it was like 10 originally.
For 10 originally, and then I got a call every week. And so that's how it started happening.
Yeah. And then I kept upping it. And
kept upping it, yeah.
15. Find something that you said during the chat.
Yeah,
and go, that's out of order, you're doing another week.
Yeah, that was it.
Every
single
week. And you did that till I left.
Yeah.
I never ever did the time on that.
And then when that ended, you had the idea of doing something where we talked about ghosts.
Yeah, had we not, I might have misremembered this, had we not in real life spoke on the phone what is now essentially the Parapod? So had we not?
I think we'd had chats.
Well, you'd tell me things on the phone.
Yeah, sort of.
And we'd laugh about it so much that
it
was then. So it wasn't. There was no precedent for it at all.
Yeah,
I think it was something that was happening in real life. This is how I remember it, anyway. Something that was happening in real life that I said, let's like structure this into a podcast.
Yeah, and it sort of started because I wanted to get you to come into a haunted house. I was trying to get you to come in, and you were like, it's bollocks. And I was telling you, no, it's not bollocks. And I think maybe that's how
I kept crying off, though, because it was so expensive.
What was that? Right.
Like, you kept ringing and going, do you want to come? And I go, yeah. And then you'd ring me an hour later and go, can you transfer 50 quid to my account? And I'd be like, I'm not putting 50 quid
no,
in your account.
No, I don't think that happened.
I found that shocking. When you were talking about Pontefract, how much it costs to go.
Chillingham cost me a penny. I've been twice. It never cost me a penny.
No, not that, but like you've been.
Yeah.
And like Chillingham Castle, I think you said as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's really expensive.
But Chillingham's a hotel, though, so you do go there and stay there. It's not being charged to just go and stand in there.
Yeah.
You go and stay there for a few days.
Yeah, I go for my birthday and I take friends and we stay away. So it is, I am staying in a haunted place and I've got an interest in it, but at the same time, I'm happy being there, having a holiday away somewhere.
But yeah, you pay the same money to go and stay in a posh-ish hotel.
You pay the same money to stay in a Premier Inn, in effect.
But you paid the same amount to go and stay in the house in Pontefract, didn't you? It's like £300 a night, you said.
I didn't pay a penny.
No, him, not you.
I worked out that if we blackmailed the owner...
No,
I'm going to have a go at him on this as well.
Yeah. No, he's a really nice bloke.
Yeah, he's lovely.
He's a really nice bloke.
Oh, he sounds lovely, but he's not giving me one.
No. Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah,
but at the same time, these prices reflect the amount of people who are going in to stay.
Yeah, it's
and they work out. They work out about the same as staying in like a Premier Inn or something.
It's also not. It's even though I've took the mickey out of it a little bit. It's also one, not compulsory.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've not got to go to that.
Yeah.
And two, he is running a business, so it's not that he's renting it out for people to stay there overnight. You know, travellers on the I don't mean travellers as in gypsy folk. I mean travellers as in people who are like working out or whatever.
It's supply and demand.
Yeah, well, they're going there to experience. They don't know until they get there. Nothing. But they're going there with the idea that they're going to a haunted house, and it has a history of being a haunted house. Right. That is, you know, that's a factual thing that is reported that it's haunted and all that. It's not like Bill just got up one morning and decided I'm going to pretend it's haunted. You know, he bought it as a quote unquote haunted house. So I don't really have that much of an issue with him charging a bit more for that thing, for that experience, if you like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I buy more experiences than clothes, for example, so I would pay more, so for example, to go on a roller coaster than I would to go and buy a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
So as a result, in that capacity, I understand it. You've just reminded me, there's a book I want to recommend to you. I don't know if you'd want to read it as well.
You can't read.
Okay.
Cheeky
you
bastard.
Can read it to him.
I'm pretty sure you can't swear, can you?
No, you can swear what you want.
Oh, you can, fine, I can.
Yeah. Right. It's an adult podcast, so it's absolutely fine.
Okay.
Really quickly, before we carry on, things you should know, because I presume you haven't listened to any of them. It's fine. I presume every guest hasn't, because it makes my life, my ego, a lot less big as well.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want. You can hear it before it goes out if you want. I'll have a deadline for when it needs to go out, so I'll need that done by then.
Okay.
You can have a final edit if you really want to have something taken out. If there's any questions, I always just give every... Most of the time, the guests are people like agents and promoters and TV commissioners, and so they like having editorial more than anything.
Yeah.
So, but I give everyone the option. If you get asked a question that you don't want to answer, you can say you don't want it asked and I can edit it out.
Okay.
There's show notes that come with every podcast, so anything you plug will get like listed in there. So it's all good. Cool?
That's cool, yeah.
Great. Brilliant. The book I was going to recommend is called, it's by Ryan Holiday, and it is, and I'll link you to it, but it's called, I think it's called Believe Me I'm Lying, or Trust Me I'm Lying,
okay.
And it's a book all about manipulating the media, and being able to make them print stuff by working up the chain. So, for example, if you started local press, if you started small bloggers, and then you go to bigger bloggers with the small blogger thing, and then you go to the small press, and then you eventually get to like the Daily Mail or whatever. And it's a really interesting thing on how you can make a story without, you know, having a story.
It's the more... I mean, that's been going on for years, really, that. It's more... Because larger newspapers, or Fleet Street newspapers, what used to be Fleet Street newspapers, scoop. So they scoop from local press.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is get a ridiculous enough story or a unique enough story into a local press, and it'll end up in the Nationals. That's how the bloke who recently went into East Drive, into Pontefract, ended up in all the Daily Mirror and that, and they were talking as if no one had ever been in there before.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was saying things like, oh yeah, I spoke to the makers of the film.
I spoke to the filmmakers,
And got access to the house.
Which is kind of true, because Bill, who owns the house, was the producer of the movie. But it's sort of true, but it sounds like a bigger deal than it is. Because everyone who stays there speaks to Bill.
That's what PR is, though, isn't it? That's what, you know, that's how you do things like that. That's how you do, you know...
Well, I read this book about 3 years ago when I was really getting into social media marketing and stuff, and I found it really interesting that you can create a narrative for yourself using the internet. And he goes into, because his job title is media manipulator at Urban Outfitters, and his job is to make fake adverts and leak them and then get free press from them.
Right.
And he's so good at it, and to the point of he still has that job. He is still the head of marketing at Urban Outfitters. But he's printed a book and how he's doing it.
Right.
So they still believe everything he sends them,
which
is amazing to me.
Yeah.
And it's part of the reason why I got obsessed by your podcast, is because it's the same kind of thing where you were talking about, I think it was your cat story, where you sort of made up a
guy. Oh, the guy in the garden.
Yeah, the guy who's looking for a cat.
Yeah.
And how people got annoyed by that. Mm. But it's the reverse in real life in that. Because
Well, do you know what? With that, though, people didn't really get annoyed too much about the idea that we told a lie, because the rule we had at that point was, if there's a lie on it, by the end of the episode, you'll be told.
Yeah.
The issue with it, what I found very interesting was, is how many people tweeted us, and we were sat there going, they've not heard to the end yet.
Yeah.
They've not heard to the end. So their immediate response was to go, well, it could be this. Which is interesting to me, because that's what I do. That's my take on the paranormal. Is I go, no, but it could be, you know, whatever. It was interesting to see. It's that thing of like you always say, know your enemy. It's that idea that in order to understand why people are taken in by this, in my, you know, how I feel about it, then I need to see it from the other side. I need to see how easy it is to do it, or how difficult it is to do it, for that matter, to sort of put something forward. It's like in Series 2, the Babadook thing, is that, what I had to do in that was become Carol, essentially.
Yeah.
Was to become, you know, who's the psychic lady from Pontefract. Was to take that side of it and to play something that I knew was untrue to see if people would believe it. Well, to see if one person would, but to see if you would believe it, Barry would believe it. And that's it. So I find it very interesting from the other side to actually to see how... It's relatively easy, but there are tricks to it.
Yeah.
There are tricks. So things like when we were planning that, everyone got so excited about doing it, and I had to then say, no, two of you to start. No, you can't all just rush to Barry now and say it, because no one's going to fall for that if you all do it.
So I would have been interested to see if he would have fallen for that, because the amount of people that tweet...
I would have...
You may have done it. It depends what mood you were in at the time that it happened.
And the amount of people that tweet you guys now random stuff, like you always say, you know, people all this time are sending you really random. I mean, I've sent you some stuff through that I've seen on different websites because I wanted to see how you react to it. So I figured if enough people were sending you stuff other than that as well, you know what I mean? It would just blend in.
But if it all happened in the same 5 minutes,
oh yeah, definitely.
So that was what. So I was saying, so two of you do it, and we decided who's going to do it, and then two more of you do it tomorrow, and then the originals can carry on talking about it. So we drip this through. But we only had, like, I think it was 4 or 5 days I had to do this, to turn this round, which is when I came up with the idea that everything's been taken off the internet. Yeah. That everything's been taken off the internet, which is the ultimate safety net. That's a perfect safety net, because what I know that would awaken Barry is he'll start thinking, oh, this... Oh wow, they've got this power to take over. It wouldn't cross his mind to think it was never on the internet in the first place.
The interesting thing about the way you phrased that is, so, and forgive me, I'm not accusing you of this at all, but the amount of people that
honestly, no matter what you do, he's had worse batterings in this room.
Yeah. he'll also forget it in 10 minutes.
By the look, I don't fucking remember him.
Okay.
Sat where he is right now, he's had worse hidings.
Well, Eliza Lamb.
Still weird that. I'm not.
Okay, we're not going to get too much into the mysteries because this is.
No, we're not!
My podcast is not your podcast, but with me in it. Okay. I was just going to say that you've been accused a lot of being a character, for example.
Yeah.
And the way you said that made me feel like, and I might be wrong, that you sort of had to think of him like that in order to work out what moves he would do, because you had to get into his head. And to do that, you would have to.
Well, no, not really, because I know he's not. So I
know that now.
I just think of him as anyone that you would have a debate. If you were to have a debate with someone, as anyone you would have a debate with, is that you would need to know, you know, to kind of second guess their moves. Like, this is the famous thing with the Gore Vidal interviews. Do you remember the Gore Vidal? Well, you won't remember them, you're too young, but as am I. But the Gore Vidal interviews with your man, oh, what's the bloke's name? Really conservative man. I can't remember his name. I want to say Priestley, but that's not right. But Gore Vidal did some interviews, some live TV interviews, and where the other man slipped up was he didn't know enough about Gore Vidal before they had these debates. It was around the time of the election of Bobby Kennedy, I think it was, and... they had these live debates on TV in America that became a huge, you know, they just ripped into each other. But on the first debate, the other guy, I can't believe I've got a blank on this man's name. I'm going to actually, you can cut this out, I'm going to Google his name. So I know it for definite.
That's okay.
Hang on. Gore Vidal.
I do know what you mean, though. So while you're Googling that, I do know what you mean, because most of the guests I have on here are... I wouldn't say surprised, but they're a little bit... Because most of them have had like 20-odd years in the industry.
Yeah.
And I spend hours Googling people before I get them on.
Yeah, yeah.
And looking up interviews I've done before so I don't double up on questions and all that kind of stuff. And most of the time when I get them on, they sit there and just go, oh yeah, I remember I did... And have to really think about it.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But that's... And that's someone you're not going to have... It was Bill Buckley Jr., by the way, it was.
Okay.
Who eventually lost the debates... Because Gore Vidal, and about the 6th or 7th one, there's a documentary about it. I can't remember what the documentary's called, but it's a really, really good film where Gore Vidal gets under his skin so much that Buckley, on live television, calls him a little queer. like really viciously, because Vidal says something about he's like a Nazi. He goes, "Don't you call me a Nazi, you little queer!" Like, and it's a real shock moment where he just lost his temper and went. But their first interview that they had together, Buckley didn't know enough about Vidal. So he didn't know how the debate was going to go, or the tricks he would employ, or, you know, all that sort of thing. How someone argues. And I think if you're going to have an argument, I mean, we're not having a real argument, me and Barry, but if we're going to have a debate, then as much of my research is about second-guessing Barry as about finding out the facts. So it's like, what will he believe? What will his take on that be? What will that be? What will that be? And I think 9 times out of 10, I'm covered. The only thing that I can remember that came properly out left field was when Barry said that if you pretend to be a Bigfoot and go out, that you would get you're risking getting bummed by a Bigfoot. And that's the only thing that I had not.
While we're on that, did you find that in research? Well, I say research. Did you find that on Google, or did you make that up yourself?
I think it was in some documentary with Tom Selleck. He was.
What's his real name?
I don't know.
A man who looks like Tom Selleck.
It was a bloke who looked like. I think it was in that, and it was about they went into the woods dressed up as them.
Tom Selleck.
And there was like, what happens? And it makes sense.
It doesn't though, because
if you were a
I should point out this hasn't been staged. This is legitimately.
Honestly, that's the story of my life. This hasn't been staged. Where does the aggressor place his aggression?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, where somebody's dressed as a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Right? They're the ones that are going to be, in your words, bummed.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Also, sorry, I was going to say, you said in the podcast they've got. Sorry to interrupt you, but you said that they're quite. They like give gifts and stuff, so they've got like a societal setup, aren't they evolved enough to not rape? Like, aren't they evolved to like just, you know, not immediately jump on any creature that comes near them?
It is a fair point. But what I'd say. To be semi-serious for a moment, is that you could say the same thing about human beings.
I get that. It's just a point floating around.
It's my
whole thing is.
My issue is more of a logistic point of view.
Go ahead, you do logistics.
Even if it was consensual, where is there a bum flap in the costume? Is there a bum in the costume?
I was literally thinking that. Yeah. How detailed did you go with the costume? Because it's got tits, and now it's got a bum hole.
How's it penetrating the costume? and if it's... But look at the face. And if it has penetrated the costume, surely that would be the moment it realised that this wasn't actually what it thought it was.
Through the costume?
But these people have got to Thailand.
Oh my God.
They get involved with a fit lass at a bar. Go back to the hotel.
Driving test.
Halfway through. Halfway through.
Yeah, it's a blow.
It's a cock. Yeah. Right.
Halfway through?
you know what I mean? You're necking on. You're having a bit of feel. Then all of a sudden,
But then what?
Cock and balls.
And
some people just be like, well, put the effort in. Yeah.
But this is...
A Bigfoot isn't a person in Thailand on a holiday.
The Bigfoot is it's an animalistic thing, according to you, that it'll just get old or something and fuck it. But it can't, because there's nothing to fuck.
It would get annoyed that it wouldn't find a hole, if anything.
There's nothing to fuck. So it's a costume, isn't it? So there's nothing... It can't penetrate the costume. And then if it got the costume off it, it would realise that's a human being. So the... Your original point is moot because...
There's something in the way. Yeah.
It doesn't believe that it's another Bigfoot.
Well, you were visualising it. I could see your face.
The bloke who looks like Tom Selleck.
Okay, there's a Kermit... I don't want to go into this too much, but there's a Kermit over there, right, that doesn't have a hole in it. So if you imagined that I was in that.
Oh, do you know Kermit?
I've had a look. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, what I'd say with that Kermit there, it's a replica Kermit. If I threw that into the front garden now,
a frog wouldn't fuck
yeah,
it.
Yeah, frogs wouldn't fuck it.
But
they wouldn't jump on it.
There might be a pig out there.
How many times do you see dog shagging teddies?
I've never seen the internet. I have never seen that in my life, but I believe you.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Hang on, what have you been Googling?
You see it all the time.
Even no, I don't! Like,
you've been framed. They do, the show is.
Yeah, no, that's true. But they're full of legs. That's because they have a.
And they're not fucking it, they're rubbing up against it.
Well, it's an animalistic thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ditto with Bigfoot.
It's horny, is what it is. But even if that's true of Bigfoot, or Big Fight, to give them the correct term, even if that's true of them, even if that is true, your original point is irrelevant because they don't need to be dressed up. Your point was, what you were saying in the podcast was that if somebody dressed up as a Bigfoot would mistake that for a real Bigfoot. So if you're going to use the argument that they're like dogs and will rot anything, then being dressed up is irrelevant.
Right.
It doesn't matter, does it?
I mean, is this what we're meant to be talking about?
No, not at all. Right, my point was...
How's it got to this? I thought we were going to talk about how the fucking show works.
We're way off the question. My original.
What was the question?
The question was going to. Okay, I'll modify the question so that hopefully it will stay on top topic. You've been accused a lot of being a character.
Yeah.
Right. You're not. anyone listening to this now, he's not. Right. And if he is, you've played it very straight since I've got here.
Right.
Even before the recording.
Which, by the way, not to throw a spanner in the works, is possible.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not. I was thinking.
Like,
Andy,
that is possible.
I was thinking Andy Kaufman. I was thinking he is a method actor who's carrying on with this.
Yeah.
But at the same token, I at some point you would realise it was. Do you know what I mean? Like it would be obvious enough. But you don't strike me as a character. Now I'm sat opposite you.
But I'm pretty normal. It's like, just because I believe in these things that are outlandish, that's just one thing about it. The rest of it, I think I'm a pretty normal bloke.
As a listener, right, as of the podcast, I don't worry about you because of you believing in ghosts. I have friends of mine who believe in ghosts and gods and all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. And I don't worry about them. It's more your thought process in justifying the belief that worries me. Does that make sense?
But why is it worrying? That's my question back to that. Why is it worrying?
How did this become right? Because you seem to selectively hear stuff, which again, and I'm not accusing you of this, but it could come out in the edit, and it could be that kind of thing. So,
what I'll say on that, as we're clarifying things, with the character and all that sort of thing, the edit. It's up to you whether you agree with this or not, but I think you will agree with it, is that the edit, 9 times out of 10, tones down what happened rather than tones it up.
But that implies that you know that how you're coming off when you listen to it.
The edit is the opposite of biased.
Okay.
Really. It levels...
I don't have anything to do with the editing.
But you are there when we record.
So you know you're
not misrepresented in the edit.
Otherwise,
you turn around and say, "That's not how I said that." And you cut that to make that sound like. Do you know what I mean? And that.
Yeah, it's a bit like at the very end of one of the series, you did the Derren Brown "No Powers" that song that was clearly cut to. I mean, it was actually probably the same thing, but you just put a backing track to it.
I re-recorded the names. I re-recorded a load of names.
Yeah,
but Barry in that song is just sound bites from the surface.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay. Well, my original question was going to be, first of all, how are you dealing with that? Because if I was getting accused of... I mean, I get annoyed a little bit when people call me an act on stage, even though it's a hyperbole of who I am. It's very much me. So I can imagine if someone started calling me a character, even though they've only got a nugget of my existence to go on, and it happens to be something that's very personal to you, is that causing you...
Don't be professional, just tell the absolute truth.
I think I got really annoyed.
Yeah.
I got really annoyed at the start. I mean, I came into this sort of not having... I mean, I know I do stand-up and things like that, but I've never been the sort of focus of something in like a podcast or a show or something. Like, my Twitter thing sat at about 1,000 followers or something. Mm. And then very quickly, lots of people are then coming on and all having got, and it was like, it was a real shock, and it was a steep learning curve, and it was fast.
There was a point in Series 1, I remember in Series 1, and if you want this cutting out, then say okay. Afterwards, but there was a point in Series 1 where I think I was talking to you pretty much daily for about 3 or 4 weeks
yeah.
about this.
Yeah.
That I was having to talk you down every day and say to you, it means they're engaged in the show. You can't try to detach yourself from it.
Yeah.
In terms of they're shouting at what we've presented to them.
Mm.
You know that they're
that's very much what it is.
Yeah, but that's not. See, this.
Oh
is
no,
the thing.
I understand.
I've
yeah.
never had it. You know, I've never experienced it in any of the podcasts I've done before. So I, although I've been in podcasts before that have. Had well the difference is with the Ray Peacock podcast, which had an act called Raji James in it, is that Raji was accentuating, you know, yeah. he was
a character
I think is pushing it, but okay. it was certainly exaggerated on his side, you know, he knew what he was right. doing, he was exaggerating it, and that's not happening at all with Barry, so it's and I saw how sometimes nasty it got with Raji. You know, it really did. So the problem with it is, I've gone through periods of time of thinking I should take responsibility for that. That's my, because of how I talk to the person on the podcast, other people think it's all right for them in okay. real life to do yeah, that yeah. as well. Now, it isn't all right, but I understand why someone psychologically would think that they were playing along with it. I get that. But it's also why I've also been very vigilant throughout my podcasting career when things like this have come up. I've been very vigilant in steadfastly showing that I fall down on the side of the person who's experiencing the quote-unquote abuse, right? Mm. So I, whenever you've got stuff that is too far, that is too far, I'm fast in. I'm very fast in to make, because otherwise, what I think that does, what I hope that does, is that makes them go, "Oh, I was doing what Ray does," and then they realise that they're not me, yeah. so they're not mates with him.
Yeah.
So it isn't all right then. Mm. You know, I certainly feel like I'm very protective of people that I work with. I'm very. Like what we're saying about that I spoke to him every day for a period of time is I could have just gone, "Oh, fucking grow up, mate."
Mm.
Which was, you know, and other people said that, "See, you need to grow up out," you know, things like that.
Mm.
But I don't think that. I do understand it. I understand the level of stuff that, you know, 75% of it is calling you an idiot. And 25% of it is saying you're not who you purport to be.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's yeah. all insulting.
Yeah.
And can get to you. If it's one, that you can maybe shoulder that off. But if it's like 200 over a period of an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Of course that'll get to you. Yeah, of course it would.
It came thick and fast. And I think it was by about the 6th or 7th episode of the first series. Where I think that's why we'd reached the point where I was ringing you every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was letting off steam. So yeah. you'd sort of get the brunt of me going, "Fucking hell, rah, 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 rah," and you go, "Right, fine," and sort of talk me down.
Yeah.
And I think if I hadn't had that, I think I would have quit there I would have just went, I don't need this.
Was it you ringing him because you saw them as an extension of him, or was it you ringing him because he's part of the project, or could you have rung someone, or were you ringing other people as well?
You were speaking to other people as well.
Okay. Because I thought they
might. Some of the comments you
spoke to, sort of, yeah, but I rang you because you
were. I remember another comic called me about it.
Really?
And said that they didn't think you were as robust as we thought you were.
Right, okay.
And I took that on board at the time.
Who was it?
And said, "Longley."
All right, okay.
And I thought, I didn't dismiss that. I thought, is that right? And then I said to Longley, I said, "Look, he's being looked after. I've got my eye on him, it's fine. And I won't let it get out of hand." But it is a... I would presume it's because I've got form with this. So I've not... It's, do you know what? It's a shock and a weird adjustment when anything is successful.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how that success comes.
Or how you measure that success.
Yeah, totally. But that in itself, when you suddenly realise you're getting however many thousand downloads a week and that a lot of people are engaged with it, that, even that's a nice thing, it's still a bit of a, that makes it a bit weird. And you have to adjust to that. So if you add on to that, and also, this success comes with the price of, you'll be called an idiot every day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That is a lot to deal with. It really is. So you'd have to, you've certainly got to be, the thing that I remember repeating to you the most, and I still say it from time to time now, is that they think they're playing.
Yeah.
That was the thing I was saying. Yeah. They think they're playing, they're just missing the goal. That's all it is. Mm. So they're not actually insulting you. And I think most of these people would be very upset if they thought you were upset.
Mm.
You know, they think they're playing along with it. It's just that they've not seen all the other messages. All they've seen is their own one.
Mm.
They don't know you've had 100 of them.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a search for messages, and most of the ones I've read that call you something offensive.
Yeah.
I've never read one and thought, that's gone. It's not true. I have read a couple that I thought, that is too far. Yeah. Right. But I would say, like you said, 99% of them are people just going, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said or something in along those lines. And I can relate to that because sometimes I feel like that as well.
But I do as well. I hear them back and I think, I put my head in my hands and go, oh, you fucking idiot. Why did you... Like, when
was that row we had recently? We had a row about something recently where it was on the release of the last episode. It was that night, the release of the last episode. And someone had said something to you on Twitter and you said to me you were going to stay off Twitter that night, and I was pissed off because I was like, it's the last episode, I need you promoting it.
Yeah.
And I was getting angry because I was saying to you, you have read this tweet wrong.
Right, yeah.
Because you decided it meant something that it didn't mean. I can't remember what the content was of it, but the next day when we spoke about it, you were like, I totally did.
Yeah.
Because it was the mood you were in, and you might have had like 10 other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the innocent ones get caught up with the pricky ones, you know?
Yeah, it's
everything written down, I find, or a lot of things written down, can be taken two ways, depending on your mood of reading.
The mood you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you've been reading 30 or 40, because I should explain in case you don't know anything about me, my day job is in social media. So I spend a lot of time representing brands. And if something goes wrong for the brand, like a TV advert fucks up or a celebrity who was accused of something was found drinking, whatever, I'm the one that gets the backlash for that. So I'm more than used to having to be reserved when 2,000 people think I represent brand X and I'm the wanker, even though I'm not, you're an actual person and you're getting it, whereas I'm representing a brand and I'm it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just wondering psychologically if that was affecting how, also, go on, I'll let you finish what you're going to say.
No, I just hear, like, I think, like, first of all, I've never thought that, because some people, I would start taking that people were getting like genuinely angry and having a go at me, and I was like, "Oh, don't listen," or "I haven't made you listen to this." And excuse me. And for a lot of my life, I've always had these beliefs and things. Just nobody's ever questioned me on them, and of course now Ray does, and the results, the podcast. But I think people get so annoyed and worked up, and it's like, just let it go. It's not.
But going back to that point, though, I agree with what you're saying. I agree that we will regularly say to each other, I don't think they realise this is a comedy show. Like, do you know what I mean? We've had like, to be honest, it happens more on emails, like to the contact email that comes to us,
right?
Where people obviously can't get their anger into 140 characters, and like no exaggeration, like sometimes 5 or 6 pages of email of just like. Either telling me why I'm wrong, like say why ghosts exist, or telling Barry why they don't, and you sort of read it and you go, there's not been a word of humour in this email. This is like you've taken this as if we've done a speech somewhere.
As much as it is a comedy podcast, and it's very apparent the further in you get, the more the hilarity comes out.
Yeah,
because obviously you've got the reoccurring jokes and stuff like that. When I first, so okay, I'll tell you how I found it, because this will make sense as to why this interview's come about. I was watching Rahel Estepa, and you were on it, and you were talking about audiences and stuff.
Ray, not Barry. Barry wouldn't be on it.
No, sorry, yeah.
It's Harry Hinspan. I thought you were confused going, what's that?
Yeah, I knew that.
Barry did look confused as if I'd said he'd been on something else.
Yeah.
Ray was on. Do you want to be called Ray or Ian on this? Just for the rest of the
when's it out?
It'll be out a month's time at this point. Yeah.
It's Ian then. Ray's gone now.
Oh yeah. It's oh, is Ian. It? Yeah.
What's
yeah.
Okay? That's interesting. What do you mean Ray's gone?
The name's gone as of the 27th of June.
Oh really? Yeah. What was the? Because
it's far too long. The story's getting to.
Well,
not dissimilar to what we've been talking about.
Well, I've had really? A few. Well, okay, I'll tell you the questions I've had in that area, and we'll talk about why you've dropped the name. Then, for example. So when I first started the podcast, I knew of you, but I'd never seen you live.
Okay.
And I'd never heard a podcast by you.
Right.
So after I'd watched that one and you'd spoken about the PowerPod, I downloaded the Pontifer episode because you talked about it quite a lot in there.
Yes.
And I thought that'd be good. Now, the first
that
half
was
an
weird
hour...
weird doing that day, because remember that we'd already recorded it and it was edited, but I had to maintain to Richard because it hadn't been out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the first episode...
No, it wasn't out. It was early December we did the Richard Herring one, so I had to maintain to Richard that weird things happened in Pontefract, because I knew the first episode relied on that.
Yeah, for
and
the
then,
second, yeah.
But then the thing is that interview only came out after... they'd both been out.
Yeah.
This is where it was released. It was a weird dichotomy. So I'll say to you, go on.
No, it's I get it, because scheduling wise I have to think about stuff like that as well. I referenced, I fucked up because I did an episode with Mick Perrin about a week ago, the touring guy, and I talked about a podcast and I realised, oh shit, that's coming out after his one.
Yeah.
But it was just because I wasn't thinking because I was talking and So essentially, I didn't know that your name was a stage name,
right,
as it were. And someone pointed out to me, oh no, it's clearly a stage name. And I was like, I didn't think it, you know, I hadn't clocked what it was. And then when I started listening to the podcast from the start, and I thought, you might be a character, you've got a stage name.
Yeah.
Did that ever come into your thought process where you've got a stage name, people think he's a character, they might think this is a whole contrived thing?
No, because... not for that reason, no. Because it's not... well, the thing is, it's not clearly a stage name. That's the problem. Is it isn't clearly a stage name. It's only clearly a stage name if you assume it's a joke, which it isn't. It never has been. So again, it's very difficult to... I'm begrudgingly letting it go because I feel like... So the issue is people think it means rapey cock. Okay,
that's what someone said to me. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, it's good they're not here with you now.
Sorry, I just hadn't picked up on it. Absolutely fine. Well, that would
imply to me is that you're a decent person then.
Okay,
because I think for somebody to make that assumption says more about them than it does about me.
Right.
Mainly because on a purely logistical level, it doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. That's not a thing. It's not a, you know. It's not
like Dapper Laughs where he's come with a name.
Yeah, but I, to this day, I don't know what Ray Peacock means. I really don't. I don't. I find it insulting on many levels. First and foremost, the idea that's funny anyway. And secondly, following hot on its heels, the idea that the judgment call it makes of me, that I think that's funny enough to make that my name, and three, that I would risk my career on something that, if it was what people think it is, can't even be broadcast. Do you know what I mean? What was
the reason for not sticking? Is Ian Boltworth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the reason for changing to or going on stage with that?
Ray Peacock was a character originally, so it was a character out that I used to do.
Right.
Of a kind of a brash Yorkshireman, flat cap wearing Yorkshireman, just calling people out and just shouting the odds, you know.
Right.
Was the character, and then it was decided, retrospectively now, you know, incorrectly, that too many people in comedy knew me as that character, as in industry people like bookers and things. So it would be too confusing a thing for me to suddenly, when I stopped doing the character, to revert back to my real name, because I'd be starting from scratch.
Okay.
So I just maintained the stage name of Ray Peacock. Ray Peacock was a real man. He was a greyhound trainer, so it was somebody's real name.
Right.
So
you'd stolen, not stolen, but you'd...
Oh, no, stolen. It was stolen.
But Stone, in terms of, I saw it one day, he was a Greyhound Ranger. I was like, that's a brilliant name
for the character. That's a great name for the character, yeah.
And had the name. He's died since.
Oh.
Okay. But it was...
Sorry, in my head I was like, have you got in contact with him? Oh, right, yeah. That was all I was thinking.
But, you know, the cast iron argument from my side that was never, ever considered an issue at that point is because I started that character, the first time I did it was in 1999. No, 98 was the first time I did the character. And rapey was not a word.
Right.
Like, it actually wasn't a word. That's a recent word, that is. That's the thing that's come about recently. That gets used a lot. Oh, he looks rapier, or that's it. And even without this, I think that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's considered socially acceptable to say that. I think that's horrible. Vile.
I have a massive issue with people saying Facebook rape, for example. I think it's such a flippant way of bypassing off something that's really horrific.
I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. So imagine if every day when you woke up, at some point during the day, somebody would tweet you and accuse you of finding rape funny. Given what you just told me now about how you feel about it, imagine if every day, because of your name, somebody would tweet you, sometimes quite aggressively as well, and accuse you of finding rape funny, and judge you on that as well.
I can't put myself in that position.
There we go.
Genuinely can't do it. Not that I couldn't empathise with what you're going or what you've been through, but just... I have a joke at the moment, for example, and it's a longer build up, but the joke is about how a lot of middle class white comedians talk about being a feminist, and they say they think women can do everything as well as men, and that's not true because historically women can't oppress a gender as well as we can. It's a silly satirical point, but I think it's obvious what side I'm on in that, right? However, I have had people come up to me after shows and say, do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah.
And I do, because I say it. So it's obvious that they're not asking the question, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the closest I can come to it.
Yeah.
And think, they think I'm sexist. And I don't like that they think I'm sexist.
Yeah.
But I think it's obvious that I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you'd agree it feels unjust.
Oh, it feels horrible. Yeah. Yeah.
So the reason I've resisted changing... Like other people say to me, well, just change it then. Or the thing that's normally preceded by, surely you realised when you took that next, and again you have to go, it didn't, it wasn't a word. It wasn't a word.
Yeah.
It'd
be like if you were called selfie stick or something.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's right. It just wasn't a thing.
In 1998.
Yeah.
I'd fucking love a character act called Selfie Stick. I would definitely go to that open mic night.
Yeah. I like the way you think they wouldn't have progressed on from the open mic.
Fucking no chance.
Yeah. And all the actors is a bloke comes out, undoes his fly, whaps his cock out, and stands there. And they go, what's he doing? He's going, my name is Selfie.
Yeah.
And there's just a spotlight on
Yeah. It's my
and the acting selfie's dick.
Selfie's dick. You know I'm hashtagging this selfie's dick now, you know, right?
Oh.
What I've... basically, I can't be arsed with it anymore.
Right.
I actually can't be arsed with it anymore. It's a tremendously expensive change. It does knock me back, like, 10 years, certainly. But luckily I'm at a stage in my career where my career doesn't matter to me at all. Yeah, like it really, you know, I don't care about things like that anymore.
Okay.
So the one niggling point in me that I've got to deal with myself is it does feel a bit like, because it was innocent, it was utterly innocent. So because of that, it does feel like somebody saying to a fat kid, you know, if you want them to stop picking on you, you should lose some weight.
Yeah.
Is that it's not, that's not his or her responsibility. The responsibility lies with the aggressor. So it does feel like I'm having to make a huge concession, a huge life change for something that I simply didn't do.
Yeah.
I simply didn't do it. But for a more peaceful life, and so that I don't have to keep arguing with people about it or blocking people. I looked on my block list the other day. Do you know how many people I've got blocked on Twitter? Just under 6,000.
Wow.
So that's how yeah. many times it's happened.
Since I've been on Twitter.
So that's how many times it's happened.
Okay.
And it's just, like, most of them will be to do with that. So, a couple of years ago, I had zero tolerance to it, so I just went, right, anyone says it, don't engage, block immediately. I used to just call people a fucking idiot when they say it, and then, you know, and then... But that before you know it, you're having a row about it, or you're trying to defend yourself, and you're defending yourself over something that you've not even done. Mm. So, my take on it now is just to block. But it did... have I spoken about it? I think I've said it before. That it did lead to a suicide attempt. Like, it actually did.
Was that the one on the Richard...
No, that was a different thing. Okay. That was a different thing.
Right.
But it did. And it was... And again, not because that's how thin-skinned I am, but because it was a cumulative. It was, you know, I can't deal with this anymore, and it caught me on the wrong night, and five people did it pretty much the same time, independently of each other. I presume independently of each other. So when something upsets you that much, I've certainly often quoted as saying it's the one thing in life I've got no sense of humour about at all.
Mm.
Like, I've never a fan said it last night. I was telling Barry about it before. Mm. I was on Periscope last night, and somebody who's supposedly a fan just said it out of the blue, and I told them to go away, and then they said, oh, sorry, I've got a childish sense of humour. And I just didn't engage with it further. But it's like, if that had been Twitter, they'd have been blocked. Simple, you know, just gone.
That's interesting. Sorry.
Did they pretend to be a fan?
No, not that. They've got a childish sense of humour. Do you think you're not attracting the wrong audience, but you could be attracting some of the wrong people who find that funny?
No, because I think that...
I would say that if they heard your work, they would very quickly realise, if their sense of humour is to find rapey cock funny, they would very quickly find out by listening to your work that that is not the style of humour that you do.
Well, I had it with... right, it was Matt Lucas, so it sounds like a name drop, but it's actually not what we're talking about. In that Matt Lucas said to me, I say that like I speak to him every week, but, you know,
by the way, you can name drop all your, like, no one. Oh, right, this, see, this right, goes yeah. out to industry and stuff. No one thinks that.
Yeah,
name
but I don't want
is...
to feel like I'm saying it as a. I know Matt, but I'm not. You know, we're not chatting daily. But
anymore,
never. Matt. That's a whole different story.
Sorry, go on.
But Matt, when he first met me in person, said the same to me. He said that he'd listened to some of the podcasts. He said he listened to all of them, then he came clean and said he'd listened to a few of them.
Right.
And he said that he didn't understand, because he'd been told by somebody else that was the, like, as you said, you were told, that he was told by someone else that was the joke.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
As if your name has to have a joke to it, if you work in comedy. Somebody said to me once, well, why have a stage name if it's not a joke? I mean, loads of people have stage names that aren't a joke. Rarely in a club will go, please welcome your next act, Ivor Biggin. It doesn't really happen that. People have stage names for different reasons, you know, because it's a more suitable name than their own name or because somebody has their name already or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
It's an ongoing chat in this. The episode before this one came out, but it would be a few before this one comes out, was with Henry Normal,
who
talked about his stage name.
Isn't he amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't
he wonderful? Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
But he was talking about how he came up with it because it was a generation above him.
Yeah.
And he wanted to seem really plain because he had to come from suit because he was coming from work.
Yeah.
And so obviously it made more sense than his actual name.
Yeah.
So I've got a friend of mine who's a teacher who doesn't want the students Googling them, so they use a stage
name. Yeah, fine. What's the joke of Lee Mack? Do you know what I mean? It's not a joke. But anyway, I don't know what I was talking about. What was I talking about? I've genuinely forgotten.
Matt Lucas.
So Matt said that to me. He said he was very surprised that having a little bit of knowledge of me as a bloke and as an act, he was surprised that I'd made that joke. And I said it's not a joke. And he said, I was told it was. And I said, it's not. And he said that, and this is like four or five years ago, where he said then, it's not too late to change that. Change it.
Yeah.
Just change it. You're not too far gone that you can't change that name. And then I had to explain to him and say, well, look, at the moment, I'm in a double act called Peacock and Gamble, so I've got to keep Peacock.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, we do stuff on the radio and we do stuff, blah, blah, blah. So Peacock, it has to remain. But now I'm at a stage where it doesn't have to remain. There's no need at all for me to have Peacock at all. So it's a huge upheaval. Like it really, really is. It makes it quite confusing. It's weird that Series 3 of the Parapod.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be in both of them.
Yeah, a different name. And
will it be edited by Ray Peacock?
No. but we can't really explain that within the show because all we've got to hope is that enough people know it's happened. That's why I'm doing it in between series.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a different podcast in between the two series of the Parapod, which will be my first podcast with my real name. So hopefully that will step to the next series of the Parapod.
Hopefully enough people have listened to it from this that will get the whole experience.
Yeah, well there we go. Yeah, it's now sorted, yeah. So but I'm still a little bit angry about it that it's come to this. A little bit angry, but I'm certainly looking forward to it in terms of like that the release of that is going to be.
I'm just going to talk to Barry about his career really quickly about how it's okay.
Go on, say it.
No, go on.
Go on. No, I'm not go on. It. Go on, say it. You're fucking desperate
that
to.
That was so hard not to say.
Just saying, I edited it together.
That was so hard not to say that.
I know.
Go on.
Just that he said, I'm going to tell Barry about his career really quickly.
Yeah.
Barry, you got a career? No? All right.
Well, okay. So I've explained how I vaguely knew you before the pod.
Yeah.
I had no idea about anything to do with you before the podcast.
Okay.
And
can I say a quick...
Yeah, go on.
That's what we said before, though. Is that thing again, is that... Just to reiterate that idea, when we talk about Barry being picked on and stuff online, is it is out of the blue for Barry. Really is. That Barry, you know, I'd never tell him, but great comic, you know, and working comic. Any comic that works.
Put your hands over your ears, you know.
But it's true, any comic that works as a professional comic and makes a living from it is a great comic. Mm. There's no argument about it. You know, it might not be to your taste, but there's no argument about it.
Yeah.
So you've got someone who's making a living as a comic in the clubs, ergo is a success.
Like, By definition. Yeah,
absolutely is a success. But hasn't put his head, how some of us in the industry would say, above the parapet in doing Edinburgh taking another step to just sort of risk yourself a little bit. Is, you know, you had a safe career making a living what you enjoy doing. So to suddenly, but I've got form with it, so I've got experience of it, of something building up and something becoming a thing, you know, and having a bit of perverse celebrity, you know, in a weird stratosphere of society. So that is a culture shock. It absolutely is, and it took a long time, as I recall it, to persuade Barry that it was a real thing.
Yeah,
that it wasn't a hobby that we were just doing for a laugh. That it was actually no, this is an actual product. Mm. This is an actual product, as much as a Mars bar is. It's an actual product. Because I remember you saying it before Series 2, you were going, you had the idea of, we should ring a psychic hotline every week and get them to do a reading, then we'll play, we'll record it secretly and play. And I was going, we can't do that. Mm. And you were going, nah, I know what I'll tell them. And I was having to go, no.
It's like, not a secret.
Tens of thousands of people listen to this every week. Yeah. It's not. They would win in court in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You can't secretly record someone and play it out.
Oh,
but
yeah.
In your head, you were thinking, well, we can, because it's not. It's not on telly.
I think I do sometimes forget how many people listen to it.
Yeah.
And that's when my guard's really down. Well, and that's inevitably when lots of shit comes out.
That's when they remind them.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, that's why at the start of this I said to you, I mean, it would have been edited out, but I said to you, I'll assume you haven't listened to it. Because for me, I assume people aren't listening to mine so that I can treat every episode as if it's the first one. So that I don't feel like I'm, because, you know, a few thousand people download it, I feel different about it. When that was happening, I feel differently about it than when I was doing it at the start.
It's a savvy thing to do. I'll tell you, from my experience with that, is that with the old Peacock and Gamble podcast, is that we were adamant. I, to this day, couldn't tell you how many downloads that's had. I've got no clue. Because me and Ed recorded it, I edited it, we sent it to Chortle.
I'm going to have to head off shortly.
I'll move to your questions quickly, then after you've done this.
I sent it to Chortle, and then they put it up, so Chortle have access to those figures.
Right.
And both myself and Ed always said, we didn't want to know how many listeners it had, because we'd either feel disappointed or we'd feel too cocksure of ourselves.
Yeah.
And it would alter how we did it.
Yeah.
It would inevitably alter how we did it. So it's quite, but now it's unavoidable because I produce this one from a technical point of view as well. So I put it online. So I can't avoid those figures.
Well, it's why I haven't gone with SoundCloud. So people ask me, what is the hosting you want to use? And I say, I go with Podbean because it gives me so many less stats.
Right,
so I don't spend as much time on it.
Okay.
It costs me, I think it costs less as well, but I just don't want the stats. I mean, I could buy the stats more because you can do that, but I don't want them because I know I'll obsess over them.
But the reason I'm less bothered on this one about that is because this one, there is no game plan. So this one, there is no, we're not going, okay, so we do this for a year and then we would do it live and then we would, none of that at all.
Okay.
Which is what we, you know, with Peak and Hamill, that certainly wasn't, there was a game plan of sorts.
Right.
Or there became one. It happened organically, but there became one. It was like to do the double acts and whatever.
Okay.
But with this one, it's, and again, I find it tremendously, a huge relief that it's, it exists for what it is.
Mm.
There's no, you know, we're going to make a movie, or we're going to, you know, there's none of that. Mm. It exists what it is. If opportunities come in, which they have, we've gone yay or nay.
Mm.
But every single one of those opportunities, we've always said, I warn you now, if we decide we don't like this at the end of it, that is the end of it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, we're not going to film something or whatever, you know, and then hawk it around everywhere. We don't like it.
Yeah.
So, it's a huge relief. But anyway, back to Barry's
Back career. To Barry, back to Barry. So, where would you say, you're going to laugh, where would you have said your career was at prior to the Parapod? Like, where would you have placed?
Cruel question.
Just.
No, it's not. No, there's a genuine follow up.
I don't have to be here, do I?
Oh, he's got to say it as well. He's got to actually say it.
You know, it's just a gig in circuit comic.
Okay. Well, no, don't put that down. I mean, I'd love to have that. I mean, you know. I mean, I'd love to be at a stage where I make my full living off of it. So, I mean, I wouldn't put that down. But so you would say, I mean, the circuit people would know who you were.
Yeah.
And you had management with Gag Reflex.
Yes.
At that point. But you weren't necessarily, you weren't a household name. You weren't.
And it's sacked.
No.
No, they're with him.
Yeah, no, I'm still with him.
I've got them coming on soon.
Have
I've spoken to them, yeah.
All right.
Not about you, just in. Sorry, your face didn't really worry.
Yeah, they're used to that.
Nobody speaks to that. Amazing.
They go, who? And Forrest, have you heard of this? Oh, him.
They're not top corner.
We've still got a contract with that one.
Bottom corner. Look, bottom corner there at the left. Behind that desk.
Amazing. So.
You can see his forehead.
Yeah. My follow-up question was going to be, so I just wanted to paint a picture for people who maybe didn't know you prior to this, myself. Now, podcasting, of course, has put you in a position where more people know who you are.
Yeah.
And for better or for worse, you know, you can judge that however you want, because a lot of people will know you because they don't believe what you believe, and some people...
Yeah.
Well, there's two spikes to this question. One, how has it changed your perception within the paranormal communities? Because when you started, there was a lot of talk from you, from Ray, about the way that you're perceived from them. And how has it changed your professional career as a comedian in terms of maybe getting more gigs or less gigs or being treated differently because you're putting yourself out there in a way that you weren't before?
I guess the paranormal community are just now all saying... Told you was a dick.
To be honest, I don't get too involved with them. They
talking about paranormal, not comedy now.
No, the paranormal community take it far too seriously. If you think I'm bad, you should meet some of them. Yeah. well, we did meet one of them on our podcast, and yeah, hardcore. So I'm not really fussed about. So I'm not having much to do with them because I never had much to do with them anyway. Like, I never went on sort of ghost groups, sort of on like these things with like all the organisations. I'd never go on any of them. I'd always do it my way, do it myself. In terms of how it's changed comedy, I just kept people coming up to me at gigs who listened to it going, oh, we've heard this, we wanted to come along. And everyone, touch wood, everyone's been lovely so far.
That's
so, yeah.
What?
I wasn't going to pick him up on that.
Right. What people do? Absolute magpies as well.
Nothing that way.
Old wives' tale.
Yeah.
I do it.
Do you salute magpies?
Go what?
Salute magpies.
Oh, sometimes I do. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's a really odd thing.
I don't believe for a second that does anything.
But I've got two that live at the back of my flat.
Well, then you're fine.
Yeah. But there's a crow.
One of them fucks off.
Yeah, one
dies. Yeah, I've told you about the crow that comes round. We've got this crow that's proper horny, and it's after shagging both of them.
And they're dressed up like a crow. And now they're like,
it swoops down, and it's so noisy as well. You just, and then the fucking magpies go. Then it's chased them around.
It's almost like you don't care about your sleep.
But I'm trying.
It's almost like Barry doesn't care about your question.
Sorry,
I was going to say that, but I thought I'm sorry. He's got to leave, so I can be a dick. It's fine.
Some people come to gigs, say hello. It's quite nice.
Thanks for keeping that.
Sorry, yeah.
No, I mean, for mine, the reason I reset myself at the start of everyone, in a way, telling you guys is one way of resetting myself, but also telling myself, you know, I assume you don't listen to it, is because every gig I go to, almost, in fact, no, every gig for a while now, someone's come up to me and said, oh, I've listened to an episode of yours, I really like it.
Okay.
Which is great, but it does do something for you where you think, okay, this isn't exactly a funny, I mean, it's sort of funny with you guys, but it's not normally a funny podcast. What are you expecting me to do on stage? Yeah. You know what I mean? And there's those preconceptions. So I'm wondering if people come thinking, oh, is he going to talk about ghosts?
I wonder that as well. I've thought for a while now with you about, because of how you're portrayed, for want of a better word,
on
the parapod, none of that's in your stand-up.
No, like
there's no reference to it even at all, is there? As far as I know,
there's one bit about ghosts.
Oh, is there?
About Pontefract that lasts less than a minute.
Right, okay.
And then that's it. There used to be a big long bit about Most Haunted, but that's just gone because Most Haunted has just kind of gone. So that went with it. The thing about Pontefract is a little quick bit and then that's it. But
do you remember we did discuss this? I just remembered. We discussed it once where we agreed that you wouldn't be able to talk about it on stage because you don't see what's funny about it.
Yeah.
If you converted it to stand-up comedy, that would imply that you know what you're saying is laughable. Do you know what I mean? So you wouldn't be able... We could do it on stage together, but you wouldn't be able to do it alone on stage.
You could do a double act, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to.
No, oh no, I wasn't suggesting it.
It's simply not going to happen, right?
You hear that, but, everyone?
But it's you can't do it because it's a compliment to you. This is, by the way, don't look so horrified.
No, I'm listening.
In that it validates you as a real person. It validates that you're not a character. It validates that you do believe in this because you can't see what's funny.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, it's
again. It's something that I take seriously.
Yeah.
I'm really, like, those those gadgets that I brought around for the first series when we're doing the
you
extras,
they work.
I've got 100% belief that those things do work.
I don't
see them as funny. I know people go, oh, what a waste of money.
The only way you could talk about those gadgets on stage is if you acknowledge they're laughable.
Exactly, and I wouldn't because I don't think they are.
Yeah, totally. And you'd be annoyed that people were laughing
and
at
I'd
you.
Be pandering to people.
So that's why you can't talk about it as a stand-up.
Mm. Yeah. No, most of my stand-up's just stories.
Not even anything funny. Just literally three bears some nights.
They don't exist, by the way. Like, just
sometimes just to film me sitting trying to remember what happened in it.
I'd pay to see that, to be fair. Have you
thought
about
constantly looking at his watch?
Have you thought about doing the Comedian Cinema Club with, like, The Exorcist?
I think that
would be gold.
It wouldn't, because, again...
Oh, yeah, true, yeah. This is the problem I've got, is I struggle with it, because it's... The show I've just written, my partner at the time, is about our relationship and me overthinking everything in life to do with it. And when I was writing it, she turned around to me and said, the reason some of the stuff isn't working is because you think you're cool. And you're not.
Yeah.
And if you turn these jokes around, so you know you're not cool, and they think you're not. You know what I mean? Mm. It'll work. And now it works perfectly because the joke is that I'm self aware enough to know that I'm not cool, but I think I'm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for you, I mean, I've only met you for a little period of time. I don't know how self aware you are of how you come off in Ghosts. But to someone who doesn't believe in them, I mean. So I think you're aware enough that you can't talk about Ghosts on stage.
Well, he can't answer that because he doesn't know. So I can answer it for you and say that he's got no self-awareness about it being funny
right.
to other people. Which again, stop looking horrified. This is a compliment.
Right, okay.
In that he's telling the truth is what the point is. So when he talks about it, he's telling the truth, that he believes that's he's not putting it on for comic effect. He believes it.
Well, that brings up my next question in that. I mean, I'm an atheist, skeptic, don't believe in any ghosts or anything. Mm. And
you really just found out you believe in God, haven't you? Like the last month ago, about a month ago.
Struggled with that recently.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, I might have a follow up question about that in one sec. But
okay.
This question is: if someone wanted to bring me on and talk to me about some beliefs of mine. I don't necessarily know. I don't know if I wouldn't actually, but you must have been aware prior to this that there are because you said that the ghost community don't warm to you. You must have been aware of what you were up to a point what you were getting yourself into. Maybe not as high as it got. I mean, what was the thinking behind this for you? Because initially you said the concept of the show was you were going to try and convince Ray ghosts exist, and you were going to convince him it doesn't, but. The logic behind this would say that you wouldn't even want to be because as I've heard it all the way through, I feel like you didn't ever necessarily want to be convinced of it because whenever you were convinced of it, you changed your argument. So what was the was it just you wanted to convince him of ghosts?
To be honest, I never even thought of it that deeply.
Okay.
It literally goes as deep as like because I'm a fan of the work Ray's done in the past. And I like talking about ghosts. And there was an opportunity to work with Ian and to talk about ghosts. And that was it. I had nothing more than that. It's that's, like, I get to work with someone I like and I get to talk.
That's genuinely the most beautiful statement I've ever heard.
I can't even debate that. That's just like...
Because it's me.
But that is him in a nutshell.
Yeah.
That is exactly it. So that is exactly it. So that's why, again, going back to it, that's why it's unjust that he gets shit, really.
Yeah.
Outside of the controlled environment where he gets shit, where he accepts the shit nine times out of ten. Because he knows that it will sound funny.
Mm. I mean, this is why I don't feel so bad about my drinking game, because it's only phrases that you guys say over and over again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not stuff that...
it's, you know, point of the matter is we're steeped in the parapod. Like, we know it better than anyone. Mm. You know, we're steeped in it, so we get it. And, you know, Barry gets that all he's got to do is turn up and be himself. That's all he's got to do. So even though you might not be aware that how I'm going to make it funny in terms of what I say, things I say to you, or interesting, not necessarily funny, you know, how I dismantle arguments and that sort of thing, that's the beauty of it is... Like, well, not we, but I got a bit worried at one point when people were just saying to him, you've got to research, Barry, you've got to research. And you want to go, it's fucking not. Don't.
Thinking about, no.
Do not make him research.
Well, here's the thing. Ollie would actually like to hear an episode where he has, I mean, I hope you don't take this offensively.
You really wouldn't. We've got one.
Can I explain why, though?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so, right. I'm fascinated by ghosts. I find the mythology of them and the concepts of them fascinating. I don't believe in them in any way, shape, or form. Mm. And in fact, this was an interesting thing that happened to me. About 2 months before I heard the Rahelester thing, it's like sneezing now. Like, yeah. Someone sneezes, I say bless you. I know it's annoying
it's
to everyone.
With it.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what I'm convinced about? Okay, I hope he doesn't hear this because he's coming. He said he might come on. Well, he said he would, but now he might not. You know how whenever he pauses for a laugh, he errs?
Right.
Yeah. I'm convinced he's trained his audience to laugh at that. Do you know what I mean? Because if you hear his podcast
like
over
Pavlov's
and over again.
Dog.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I laugh whenever he errs now.
Yeah, Dara Brain does exactly the same.
Yeah.
Thing.
He goes, yeah. Right. I'm thinking I need to bring in like a noise that I do.
I think that was started by Tarby. I think Jimmy Starbuck started that.
What do you reckon?
Mm. Yeah. Well, he probably didn't start, but that's the first time I was aware of that. Of someone having a tick on stage that was to cover a laugh, and that Tarby will tell a joke and go, but you know, like, but you know is under the laugh, always under the laugh.
So to stop doing that, I went to pubs that had the gigs on during the day and rehearsed.
Right.
So I would listen to it back when there was no one in, so there wouldn't be a laugh, right? So I would rehearse and then I'd listen to it back and go, right, that's where I've erred. And
okay.
So I would learn to not err and to fill in the gaps.
But if it works as a thing.
Yeah, no, now I'm thinking I've done it wrong.
Yeah, bring it back.
I should have brought it back. So about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks before that, I'd heard your I'm just going to call it a podcast with Richard. I'd had a dream where I'd gone on a holiday with like my favourite writers, and we'd for some reason we'd done it. I don't know why I was there, right? And we'd gone into the crypt of the building, right? And in the crypt, they'd all sat, three of them, just in a line. And no, we hadn't mentioned ghosts at all or spirits or anything like that. And one by one, I watched my heroes get freaked out about being sat on their own in silence in this dark room. And they came out, and I asked them what was going on. They went, oh, there's something in there. And I went, there's not, there can't be. And they asked me, you know, go in, whatever. And I went, no, it would be my mind doing that to me, because my mind needs stimulation, and because it hasn't got that, it would be making something up, because that's what imagination does. And when you started talking about that on the podcast, it made me go into that area of it more, and that's partly why I'd love to hear you researching an episode more, because I'd love to go more into where your imagination goes. I mean, it might be on that episode, I don't know, but where your imagination goes in terms of if you were to actually think about some of the arguments you were bringing forward.
But I
know it wouldn't be as funny, but it would definitely be. And a lot of the people you listen to it, and a lot of people I chat to online about it, are academics and people in there who I'm sure would love to hear an episode which wasn't as funny in a weird way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I say that.
I don't look that deep into it again. As in, I hear the story, I enjoy it, I get everything I need from it, and then I walk away from a ghost story.
But the problem with it is that if you research, you might find out it's bollocks before you've enjoyed believing it. So if you'd have, for example, the Chupacabra, if you'd have properly researched the Chupacabra, you would have destroyed your own argument before you even got here, because you'd have read that book and you'd have seen. You'd have basically found out all the things I told you in the episode.
Already. Right, yeah.
So if you ever research it, he's got no argument to begin with, because he'd find. Because contrary, you know, to perhaps popular belief within this, it's not every time that Barry is stubborn on these things. There are. It's when I said to you about the Bigfoot guy, you know, the John Thingy,
I
said to you, the reason you're a better researcher than him, or you're a better. Is that he has decided already Bigfoot exists, and will not listen or will try and discredit anything that's and often cast iron proof that undermines that. Whereas Barry, as we've heard on the Parapod, Chupacabra, at the end of that episode, Barry said the Chupacabra doesn't exist. At the beginning of that episode, he said he would have fucking put his house on it that it did, because he believed it did. So it's not that he's averse to finding out these things, albeit they will depress him for a little bit that it's not real. it's not that he won't listen to facts. I find it more often than not, what you've done not 10 minutes ago, that you'll go, you're so busy going off on a tangent that you've not realised your argument's been destroyed. So, okay. So it's like before when you were answering one question and then you just started talking about something. And I said about, you're not even going to answer his question because you do just go off.
Oh, yeah, that's on these tangents. Yeah.
You do it all the time. That's normally where I win the argument. It's normally when...
when you take it off the ball.
Yeah, when I'm saying something and you go, that film's haunted, do you know about this? And then you start talking about something else, like, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Listening to what I'm saying.
Can I ask you a question? And I hope neither of you take this personally in a weird way.
I hope Barry takes it personally.
Okay, all right. Well, no, I mean...
it's 25 past five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I'll make this the last question for you then. Because to be honest with you, I think you'd take it more personally than he would. But I don't know you well enough to presume that. I just want to preempt it. And I'm going to edit all that out. So my question to that is, it feels a bit like we're talking as if you're not here when that happened. I mean, does that annoy you? Because sometimes that would annoy me. And I don't mean that in an insulting way.
Yeah.
But and you are still here for this for the recording. Yeah, I should point that out. Does that not grate you a bit that he's sort of, because you haven't answered the question, he's sort of jumped in and answered the question for you because you sort of went off on a different direction?
Not really, because you probably put it across better than I can.
But I think it's going back to the thing again of I'm trying to protect him.
Oh, I'm not trying to insult him.
No, no, I know you're not. I know you're not. What I'm saying is I know. Like, people might listen back to this and go, well, Ray answered all Barry's questions. And it's like, and I have shut up from time to time and let him talk, but I think sometimes it's important to sort of put an arm around him a bit and just make sure that... I don't like the idea that he has to defend himself, is what it is. And I think that I'm trying to as someone who's an expert on Barry... I'm trying to go, no, don't get this wrong, so don't... Don't misunderstand this lad, and don't misunderstand, and don't make assumptions about him. It's a case of just like I don't think anything I've said has been derogatory about Barry.
Not at all.
Yeah. So I think it's more that I'm trying to back him up as a bloke.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And again, because I understand this situation. Yeah. From experience, not because I'm cleverer. I understand the situation more than Barry does yet. But he certainly understands it more than he did when he started. And he said, but I've got four or five years on him, both as a human being and as someone doing podcasts. So, that's why. But I'm not talking about him like he's not here. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
But that's why you can't see this on the podcast. But whenever I'm talking about Barry, I keep looking at him as well.
Oh yeah, you are. Yeah, maintaining eye contact with him.
Yeah, which
means that I'm checking the levels.
So I'm not like talking directly to you about Barry, who happens to be sat there. You know, I'm referring and deferring to him at the same time.
And he can interrupt at any point if he felt like something
fucking can't. There are rules in this house.
I forgot, you're on home base, don't you? Yes. Let the adults talk. The quick fire questions that are directed directly at you.
Okay.
Were there any mysteries or ghost stories that you wanted to bring that you were vetoed on or that you didn't do in the end because of time or whatever?
No, there was one that was recorded that couldn't go out simply because, not because it was a case of winning or losing, it just wasn't very good.
It was horrible.
Was that the one you actually fought about?
Yeah, we had a proper fight. About what happened to 9 skiers. And I really researched it. I really, really researched it. And it was an argument. It was a proper fight.
It was to immovable forces.
We wouldn't move. But no, I think I got everything.
If Darren Brown would come on as a guest, would you do that podcast?
Yeah, I would. But I'd be constantly suspicious, I think.
What, if him coming in... I'm talking about him not taking a side, because he could take whatever side he wants, but you all having a discussion about the stuff you brought.
How do you mean?
Would you say it to his face? Would you say to his... For people that don't know, Barry believes that Darren Brown is the devil.
No, I'm not saying he's the devil.
Sorry, the closest thing
we've got, yeah.
I should point out, I have a friend who is in his management. That's what I'm asking.
Right.
Would you say it to his face? Would you call him out on what you believe about him to his face? Would you?
I don't know, because it would feel very insulting.
I'm not saying, would you... No, he's not... can I rephrase that question then slightly? I mean, you can say that it's not the same question if you want, but okay. Just so that it's slightly cushioned. Because, for example, when you were in the house with, was it Carol?
Yes.
You didn't call her out on stuff, but you did ask her questions that meant that you could... Not imply that you didn't believe what she was saying, you know what I mean? So maybe if I rephrase it, that would you question what he does to him directly if there was an opportunity to do that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I want to know how he did the thing with the dog track.
You
can't ask him how he does his tricks. And you always do this. You always say, you ask people that work in a similar way to Darren Brown, you always ask them to tell you how he does something. And when you're like, oh, being cagey about it. It's like, no, that's not what they're doing. That's like saying, tell me your PIN number. No. Oh, being cagey about your PIN number. It's like, it's normal for them not to tell you.
Right.
Can I just verify something about Carol as well, by the way?
Yeah.
Is that the reason I didn't confront Carol is because, one, it would have been rude, as Barry said about Dan Brown. It would have been rude. And I'm a polite boy, really. And two, I didn't need to because she was doing it for me.
Hmm.
In that I knew at that point, when we spoke to Carol, I knew what had happened in that house because I did it.
Hmm.
She didn't. Barry didn't. Nobody else in that room knew what had happened. Now... I didn't have to go, no, because I moved the balls.
Mm.
It was better for me to shut up and let her tell me what had happened to the balls.
Oh, yeah.
Because the more she was saying, the more she was disproving what she was saying.
Because
her saying there was a little girl stood next to me, a little ghost girl next to me, who has moved the balls, was proven to be a lie by the fact that I knew later on in that podcast I was going to tell Barry one-on-one that I'd move them balls.
Mm.
So Carol should have said, there's a little girl next to you at the moment, she's just told me something, I'm going to give you the opportunity now to tell me what happened to the balls. If she'd have said that, I'd have gone, I don't know what you mean, what do you mean what happened to the balls? If she'd have then said to me, the little girl is saying to me that why Barry was in the other room, you threw those balls up the stairs. If she'd have said that to me, we'd have been fucking game on then.
Mm.
We would have been.
Mm.
But she didn't say that. She said, the little girl stood next to me, and then she implied that the little girl was acknowledging she'd moved those balls, which she hadn't, because I had. Mm. Interesting, we spoke about the other day. Do you remember we spoke about the other day?
Mm.
When we were talking about this, and we said, the thing that I'm interested in is what does Carol think did happen?
If she heard the has she heard the episode?
Don't know.
I very much doubt it.
Yeah, doubtful. But we were discussing the other day, is that what does she think did happen? Like,
would you ever have a follow-up to chat with her and see? It's been too long.
She got a knife.
Well, I'm staying here next week, aren't
you
I?
Are, aren't
yeah,
you?
I'm going back next week.
Are you
week.
Going to Pontefract?
Yeah.
But she'll maintain... But she'll... She's not going to turn and say, well, I just thought the wind had blown. She's gonna say...
Mm.
I thought they'd been moved by one of the spirits in this house. That's what she's going to say.
Mm.
But if, as I suspect it is, it's fake and it's a show that she's putting on and psychological tricks and manipulation as well, if it's those things, then what did she think had happened to the balls? If she knows...
That's more scary than the
balls.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. If she knows a ghost hasn't moved it because there aren't any ghosts there, really, she knows that. She's still got two lads saying to her,
"Yeah,
the ball's moved."
I just want to make it clear from my point of view. I do believe that house is haunted.
Yeah, no.
I really do.
We're not saying the house is haunted, but what we're okay. imagine this. Imagine.
Do you believe Carol though?
That one's hard to answer because of the argument you've just given.
Yeah.
The scary thing for me about that is if she knows that it's not haunted and she's lying, she's just bull-faced lying about it, but you've come with evidence that says that it is haunted.
Yeah.
If I was her, I'd be shitting myself.
And she was unflappable, by the way.
She didn't like...
I saw... I saw.
While I was about to do a video, I wish I'd got that. Right.
I saw no evidence in Carol. And I might have just missed it, or she might be very good at hiding it. Saw no evidence whatsoever. No flicker of confusion.
Okay.
At me saying, or at me and Barry maintaining, I'm a good enough actor to pull that off. I don't know what happened to them balls.
Right.
Barry didn't have to act it because he thought he'd experienced it as a real thing. I knew what was happening, so I was watching Carol. I saw no flicker of confusion when we said, "Them balls have moved without us touching them." There was no.
So she must believe it's haunted.
I don't know because that.
I think she does. But believe Occam's it's haunted.
Razor. That to me has to be the most logical conclusion from those options.
But that would mean that she believes that there was a girl stood next to me.
That's even more scary,
right? So what that means is she's actually seeing that girl stood next to me.
Mm.
Or she's lying that there's a girl stood next to me.
And is carrying on the lie complicit with yours.
Absolutely. So, but the reason I know there wasn't a girl stood next to me is because that girl would have told Carol I moved the balls.
Or, just throwing something else out, it could be a ghost that doesn't talk. And so she saw the ghost and it didn't.
Okay, yep.
Because at no point in that podcast did she say, a ghost is talking to me. She just said, I felt cold. There was a little girl there. He's on the stairs. He's not saying anything. You've walked through his aura. She's never actually said that he's passed on a message.
All right. Can it point?
Oh, it can point, yeah.
Right, well, it should have pointed at me.
I'm not debating this. I don't believe in ghosts. I'm trying to not scare myself that there's a woman in the world that believes they saw a ghost vision of a girl or is that good of a liar that, you know, because I could, you know, that to me is more scary than is that not more scary to you? Say it was this house, right? This house you've established is not haunted, right?
Mm.
Say she came here and he'd done the same thing, and like
he's never established that another house is haunted, by the way.
No, I know. I'm trying to literally meet halfway here.
Yeah.
But you've established this house isn't haunted, right? Yeah. Okay. So if she came here. And he did the same thing with the balls, right? But she hadn't had that previous experience with the balls, right? So it was a fresh experience. And she said, there's a little ghost girl here, right?
Yeah.
Would that not scare you that she sees a little ghost girl? Or would you be like, oh, wow, she can see it. I can't see it. I don't know what's happening.
I just think, well, she's not hurting anyone. Carol, as I mean, not the little girl ghost. I mean, to be like, well, that's not...
That's what a lot of this boils down to.
But it is psychologically hurting her, because if she's starting to see things that aren't there, that is damaging, no?
If she's enjoying it...
But that could be the start of something worse.
I have a different take on this.
Okay.
Is that I don't think... And I don't have any cast iron proof, so this is just my opinion.
Right.
I don't think Carol believes half of what she says. I don't think she does. I don't believe that... I think she knows the tricks she's employing, which then make her... And I honestly don't say this in an insulting way at all, which make her the expert in the room.
Mm.
So, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with passing yourself off as you know, the expert of something that's a fantasy anyway, in my opinion. Yeah. So, I don't think she believes for a second there was a little girl next to me.
Right.
At that point. I don't. I think she knows that saying that puts me on edge. Which it did. It absolutely did. Even though I absolutely don't believe in it. Two things happened in that experience. One was her saying she stood next to... She very carefully said it was me. She pointed at me.
Because you're the skeptic. Yeah.
She went, she stood next to you now. And the other thing was she said, well, I can feel the cold. I don't know about you.
And you were sat in the car.
I was freezing.
Yeah.
My back was freezing at that point, and I didn't let on at all. You immediately said, yeah, I'm cold as... You know, like you were just this open book straight away. But I didn't let on at all, because I didn't want her to think that the tricks were working on me. And I thought, right, I can feel the cold. Why do I feel cold? The two explanations are, one, it's a ghost, and two, it's cold.
Yeah.
Mm. And when we went back to Pontefract later... I checked that line. Me and Barry were sat in a line. There was a line directly from the front door
and you'll verify this as well, from the front door right through some double doors, then hits me, carries on towards the window where Barry was sat. We were placed there. We didn't sit there by choice. We were placed there. She sat me there, and she sat Barry there. We had no other options. When we were recording, when she arrived, we were in a different room.
Mm.
We were set up in a different room. And I said, "Oh, we're going to record it." She went, "No." And she immediately went through to the living room, plonked herself in a chair so neither of us could sit there, put a friend opposite her. So the two places that wouldn't have been cold were taken. The only two other options we had was in that direct cold streak. That's where they were. And when I went back, when she wasn't there, checked it again. Fucking freezing, that line.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the upstairs not having bulbs. They've chosen to put the table there and the chairs there.
That probably. Was Barry did that.
That was me. I took the bulbs out.
Did you actually take the bulbs out?
Yeah. The reason being, not as a trick to make them think it was haunted, but because...
Because he knew that I wouldn't do it in the dark.
Because I thought...
Oh, is this because in an early episode you said you want to do it in the dark and he said you wouldn't?
Because you said if it's haunted, it's haunted in the light as well. And so I thought, but no, I want it to be dark. I wanted to scare you. I wanted you to be scared in that house. No, well, it didn't work, did it?
but do you agree that if it's haunted, it'd be haunted in the light as well?
I suppose so, yeah.
Well, you said contrary to that in the past.
But in theory, that's right. But
Carol said the little girl is scared of the light.
Did some people...
Yeah, I love that. That was my favourite thing she said, where I was like, wow.
It's a thing where they prefer the dark.
The spirit prefers the dark.
Have you ever spoken to a spirit?
No.
So how do you know they prefer the dark if they've never said it to you?
Just from what I've read.
But how do you know that's not bias? So I've realised I've started to do the arguments and it's not...
Yeah, but go on.
It's just in my ghost books. That's...
But again, you go back to the trail of the money. You know, they've written a book to sell a book to people who don't have enough information because they're not contacting ghosts. So I've not read the book, but in my head, I'd immediately go, if I haven't contacted them, how have they? I would want to know how they've done it before I take them as an authority.
But have you been the pyramids?
Oh yeah,
you have been the pyramids.
No, I've seen them. I don't. I've gone like
you haven't been there though.
No,
how would you know that they are actually there?
I've got friends that have gone. Oh yeah, fine. Yeah, yeah.
That's all reported information.
Yeah, but my friends aren't selling me a book to the pyramids.
Yeah, but a lot of his friends aren't selling him anything. A lot of Carol's friends aren't selling her anything. Her paranormal group, they're not selling each other stuff. But they're all feeding into each other. They're all
helping each other sell stuff, but to other people.
But Carol's not selling a book, as far as I'm aware.
No.
I think the only income Carol makes from it, I think, is relatively recent. Where she'll do a protective spell for like a tenner or something.
Yeah.
And that's it. And again, it's not compulsory. you know, it's not. I don't think Carol gets any money from Bill that he gets from that house. I think
what Carol gets out perks. Of it. Yeah, she gets the perks of being able to go into the house.
She can go in that house whenever
she wants. With her ghost group.
Then that implies to me what you were saying before, that you said you don't think she believes it. She must do, because why else would you want to keep going back in there if you... didn't believe it was haunted?
Because for me, for my personal feeling on it is that within that group, she's Mother Hen. So within that group, she's...
So are they her employees? Does she pay
them?
No,
no, no, no, oh, okay. No, but she's the leader of the gang.
Oh, okay.
So she...
She likes being the...
Yeah, well, but that's socialising. She likes socialising and feeling important within her group, which everyone does.
Carol's group isn't a for-profit thing. Like, there are these groups on the internet where you go and spend a night in a haunted location with them. Carol isn't one of those. Carol is a group of like-minded believers who travel about the place looking at haunted things, and that's it. They don't make money from it. They're just...
I think she perpetuates it because...
She wouldn't have anything else to
do. That's what they do.
Yeah.
It's like people go and play Dungeons and Dragons, I guess. You know, if someone just turns around one of them groups and goes, "We're not fucking wizards!" That ruins the game.
Yeah.
That ruins the game. Now, I don't know any other members of the group other than the lad we met. So I don't know what they're like, and I don't know what they believe, and if they believe it or not.
You see, because I've met them, and they're fairly, what you would imagine, they're fairly eccentric. But again, they're not hurting anyone.
No, absolutely. No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I mean, you've got to go, so I won't get you on that. But the defense of it's not hurting anyone is fine in context of them just going into a house and playing with, in my opinion, playing with toys and trying to find a girl. You know, that's fine. But it's like It's like with you earlier on when I was talking about if you get called an idiot enough times, not you, but I mean in general, yeah. If someone gets called an idiot, they might start questioning, am I an idiot? Is that what people think of me? So if enough of your friends start, you know, believing in ghosts, they could start another thing within their group and convince her of other things that could, you know, because you've got so much trust in that circle and you're not letting in any new information, which means that it's making it. So for me, that's what it's, as much as you say it's not hurting anyone, that's you. I mean, that's you on the outside. You don't know what's going on the inside with those people. And for me, the worry is the mental health and the psychological damage that something like a self-perpetuating group, which is what I perceive it to be,
right,
would produce between each other.
My question to that would be, do you worry about people who go to church then?
Yeah.
Do you worry about people who go to a mosque?
I worry about all religions, yeah.
Would you go and confront these people about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I have.
You have?
I've spoken to friends of mine. Yeah, I've spoken to friends of mine about
sit
religious
down,
beliefs.
Barry.
I wouldn't confront. Sorry, confront them is probably the wrong word, because I wouldn't go out them and go, "What the fuck are you?" Because that's not fair, and that's not, you know, whatever. But I have friends of most religions, right? And I have acquaintances of every. Like I've got enough that I could, you know, pinch it. I'm not going to go, "Oh, I've got a friend in every," you know, because there's no point in saying that. But I have spoken to almost every mainstream religion about what they believe and why they still do it, and most of the time they're just following a tradition, they're following a line of thought that has been passed down to them, which again you could say is fine, but if you never question something and you never, I mean that's why I like what you're doing, is you're at least questioning what you believe, but if you never question it, you never evolve or learn a new way that could be better than the previous generation.
I suppose, yeah, but it's like the people in the church. They're not hurting anyone.
Sometimes they are. But.
But that's in them as a person.
I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I absolutely agree with that. So, I think there's.
Can I quickly back up a point that you just said there? But a person isn't born that way. They will have had that learning embedded into them at some point, and that will have been a part of them going to church as growing up, for example. So as much as you can say it was in them as a person, you're not born a person that maybe does a terrorist thing. You will have been convinced of it over time,
the terrorism thing is a bigger discussion.
Yes,
yeah, I really have to leave for my gig. I'm really sorry, I've got
bored with you being here.
Okay, that's fine. Right, I'm going to really quickly pause this. I am going to be late for work. So
that was so much fun to edit, so interesting to listen back to, so much fun to make. I'm really proud of how that came out. I've been really proud of the last couple of episodes, to be honest with you. I really felt like I've turned a corner in terms of creating these and editing these and putting them together into a very enjoyable and entertaining format. But it was really hard and quite a challenge to get this one right, because I didn't want it to be too dark and too bleak, but I also didn't want to censor anything they said. And I've given them both options to listen to it beforehand. They've both approved it going out, so everything in it is fine. I found them very open, I found them very honest, and I felt like even at one point I asked Barry a question and he looked at Ray, and Ray had to remind him to not just be professional about this, to just say the truth, because that's why he's here. I really respect them a lot anyway, but my respect level for them went up quite a lot with the amount of honesty and openness and humbleness that came out in this interview. If you would like to check out the PowerPod, I would highly recommend it. Honestly, it's amazing. They've done two seasons of 10 episodes each and a Halloween special, which was just amazingly well produced. Seriously, it's so good. I keep waxing lyrical about this show to everyone I can talk to, but it's just because I think it's amazingly well done. And also, I'm fanatical about ghosts, the paranormal, gods, fairy stories, just anything that's psychologically interesting, and I won't get into it here, but yeah, I find this sort of thing very fascinating. And I suppose their podcast is half about the paranormal and half about friendship, because you can tell they both care about each other, and you can tell that there's a lot of love in the room when they talk, but they get angry because they don't agree. But it doesn't matter that they don't agree. That's a lesson I learned a lot this year, is that I don't have to agree with someone to be friends with them. Anyway, I think I've rambled enough. If you've enjoyed this, please do share it. Please do tell a friend about it. Both this episode and the actual podcast itself really helps out with the download numbers. If you're going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, please go and support Barry. He's doing his first ever Edinburgh show called Barry Dodds Live in Concert. It's at the Cabaret Voltaire. It's from the 21st to the 28th of August at 3:20 p.m. I'm tempted to do like a little group outing down there. If anyone's up for that, let me know. Join the Facebook group, which is the Ask the Industry Podcast on Facebook, of course, and just tell me that you're interested, and we'll see if we can do like some sort of big mass group outing down to go and watch him and help and support him, because they're so giving and so readily available for their time that I feel like we should give something back to them. I'm going to go either way, but it'd be great if we sort of had like a big RC industry flash mob, shall we say. Anyway, if you'd like to support this podcast, as always, there is a PayPal button on my website, which you can do if you would like to take part in the Passing the Hat donation. But if you would like to be a regular supporter, which would help out the show immeasurably, please do consider becoming a patron from $1 an episode, which is about 80p, which would allow me to have a budget for future episodes. And at the moment, I've just signed up two amazing guests, and until I get the actual date for the interview, I don't want to announce it, but one of them is a massive TV writer who is one of my heroes, and the other one is, I'm not going to say any, I'm not even going to give any clues for that one, because it'll be too obvious who they are, and I don't want to give it away. So please do join the Facebook group if you want to know who they are first. That is the best place to get that information. But anyway, thank you very much for listening, thank you very much for sharing, and thank you very much for donating if you do. I will see you all in about 10 days' time. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.